Let's pray. Father, Lord God, we thank you. Father, we thank you. Lord, for what this day means, Father. I've only been a part of this church for a very brief part of the history of this church, Father, but that you have sustained this body of believers for 3 years. And Father, we celebrate that today. That Father, we celebrate the fact that that 19 of us went to one of the most dangerous cities in the world. Father, even though we never saw signs of that there, but Lord, we went and we built, and Father, we shared the gospel, and that was born out of this body of believers that you put together 3 years ago. And Father, as I've heard much of the history of the church, Father, it just goes to show that you can use any situation, Father, for your glory. You can use trials and tribulations for your glory, and you do. Father, we don't see the big picture, but you do. And Father, we are so glad that you are out ahead of us, working ahead of us. And Father, I just pray that for myself and for us as a church, that Father, we would do what you've called us to do, that we'd worship and enjoy you and lead others to do the same. And Father, we know that there's a family this morning that's waking up in Mexico, that's waking up in a better circumstance than they were this time last week. Thank you, Lord. For it's in your name we pray. Amen.
Amazing to me that just a few feet from where I'm standing makes all the difference in the world. Where you're born, what side of the fence that you're born on.
Hey, my name is Michelle Godges. This is my ninth build with Cathas for Cristo. I started when I was 18 years old. This is the first house I've ever built on the border here.
So I'm building here on the border this week. And I mean, by on the border, I mean I'm sitting on the fence. I've been here 8 years, and this week feels really different because I've never been so close building to where I'm from. I stood on that fence last Sunday, and then on Monday I came over here on this side of the fence, and I came over here to build this home for this family. And so all week it's just been crazy seeing the Border Patrol right there and seeing this family walk up to the fence and just stand there and stare. I don't know what it's like. I keep asking them what it's like to live on the fence. And I think it's all they know, and so they don't see it as that crazy or that different. But to me, when I'm standing on this side, I feel like, I feel like it's just unbelievable that I can't get on the other side. And for the first time in my life, here I am on this side of the fence, and I can't go over there.
There's poverty in the United States, but it's not on a wholesale scale like it is here in Juarez. And everybody's just scared of Juarez and thinks Juarez is a drug cartel and fearful to come, but there is a need here, and people are missing out on coming and being blessed themselves and being a blessing to others. And we see in Scripture that God blesses us so that we can be a blessing to others, and there is a need. And so, I mean, it's just amazing to me. It's been impactful to me. It's changed my perspective on things, just exposing me, getting outside my comfort box a little bit and seeing what life on the other side of the fence is like.
The fact that they can walk out their door and see freedom, see opportunity and hope, and the fact that it's right here. You know, there's a fence. And so for me, this has been a very different build.
I'm just still blown away at the difference like 30 feet makes. This really gets back to, you know, you talk about in the States, what side of the tracks you're born on. Here in El Paso, Juarez, what side of the fence you're born on makes all the difference in the world.
I don't know, it's just pretty wild to build here and to build right here. next to everything to shred on the line of all that I have and all the opportunity, because I was born right there on that side of fence. But here we are on this side, and it's a completely different world. This is on top of a landfill. This whole area was built on top of a landfill. And just a few feet away are huge, or a few yards away are huge houses in El Paso. So, I don't know. Here we are this week.
Family. Joe asked us to try to come up with one thing to let you guys know about our trip, and my thought before going to Juarez was, like all of you, you know, it's a scary place. The news is frightening. And I had my fears myself, you know. After crossing the border and then working with the family, I felt such peace. I felt such protection. And it was coming from the prayers of this church. It was felt, believe me. I didn't worry once I got there. I had no more worries. The biggest worry I had, and this is what I wanted to share with you, was, I'm 56 years old, and I'm working with a lot of guys that are like 20 years younger than me and can work like mules, and did, by the way. So in one of my many breaks, to get out of the sun, I said, you know, Lord, if I'm not, I'm here also to share the gospel. I can't even communicate with these folks. It's just, you know, I learned some words, but that doesn't prepare you for this, you know. So I said, Lord, show me, in one of my breaks, I just prayed. I said, Lord, show me a way to communicate so I can possibly share the gospel or bring joy to this family who is joyful to be around in these conditions. So, no sooner than that prayer got out of my mouth, I remembered an old sleight of hand trick my uncle showed me when I was 8 years old. I mean, it was just that quick. It required to say nothing. So I brought one of the children over and showed it, and the expression on the face was more than priceless. So he got his friends over. Before you know it, I had a crowd around me, and I was doing it over and over and over again. And the children were laughing, and they were, you know, they were saying things. They could have been calling me a devil for all I know. But the joy was there. And Edgar brought me to his mother and his family, and to show his mother and his sister this sleight of hand trick that I did. It opened up. They looked at me different. We started talking. The fear of saying the wrong thing or not being able to pronounce it right just dropped. It was hug them, love them. That's what they need. The Lord wasn't done yet. When we went back that night to the caretaker's place, the caretaker there at where we were staying overnight, there was an engine block. Many of you that know me know I've spent my life within the auto parts business. So I got to talk to the caretaker about something I knew about. There was a 305 engine block. I said to Joe. Joe said, "What? 305? He didn't know what we were talking about, but it turned out to be a 302 the guy was working on. And we talked, and he was rebuilding that engine, and my heart went out to him, and I gave him a few bucks to help him with that engine, and it was just the connection there. The next morning before we left, he comes out, and he grabs me to the side, and he showed me what he had bought. He'd bought the rings, he'd bought the timing chain, he'd bought the gaskets to help finish that engine. Did I share the gospel? I think that I did in a way that was my way. But the thing about it is, when Christ showed me two things that I knew that was only in me to show. Nobody else could do that. It was something I experienced. I was the only one that knew that sleight of hand deal. It was just something deep inside of me that was brought out, and that's what I want to share with you, is that the gospel is in each one of us, and Jesus knows it's there.
Not prepared for. Thank you. Never in my dreams did I imagine what was in store for me. Many years ago, I was still in high school. We lived in Paris, Tennessee. And I just got this strange feeling that the Lord was calling me to do something special. But rebellious as I was, I would not open the door and step through it for whatever he wanted me to do. I said, foreign missions? No. I can teach Sunday school. I can be faithful in my church attendance. I can sing in the choir. Foreign missions? Not me. I can't speak any foreign languages. And all these years, I have seen people submit to the call of God, and I couldn't understand it. How can they go off and leave their families and go and do something like this? Well, I got married, had two beautiful children. Now I've got wonderful grandchildren. And I just still could not shake this idea that the Lord wanted me to do something. Yeah, something more than teach Sunday school, although I still love it. So when the announcement came that we were going to Juarez, Mexico, I said, I think this is it. I think I'm supposed to go. So I said, okay, y'all help me prepare for it. Let me know what I need to do. And I got donations from people that just blew me off of my feet. It was awesome. It was awesome. And we got down there. I didn't know any Spanish. But somehow the Lord just opened the doors for me to communicate with these people. The mother of the family was named Brenda. And I said, Brenda, Glenda. And we immediately locked into each other. She has a one-month-old baby. Family of seven living in two rooms in this tiny, tiny house. And I felt such a bond with this mother. She and I were able to do some hand signals to communicate. But she allowed me to hug her. I had the privilege of giving a set of keys to the family when we had finished building. And she let me hug her. And I couldn't help it. The tears just went haywire. I could not turn off the waterworks. The heat was bad. Yeah. We didn't sleep real sound all night, but it was okay. We had food to eat. I never expected to see the terrain like it was, all sand. There was no grass, very few trees. But we had a team put together that only God could do. And they were hard workers. They were loving, supportive. Even when I felt like I needed a water break, so many of them would come by and say, "Miss Glenda, are you okay? Are you okay? Can I get you something?" They cared about me. And Gary was brave enough to tell his age. I'm not going to tell mine, but I'm a little bit older than Gary. But it's something I will never, ever forget. And if I can encourage somebody else who has struggled with what God wants you to do, maybe it's this, maybe it's something else, maybe it's teach Sunday school. But these people are precious people who are living in conditions that I could not imagine. And I can even look at these pictures and say, yeah, I saw that. Is it real? It's real. God is good. And I'm going to tell you something else, Terry Fan. She made the comment that prayers were powerful, and they are. And there was one time when I was trying to nail the chicken wire up close to the window so it'd be nice and tight, and my hand was shaking so bad. I said, "Lord, please don't let me hit the window with this hammer." And I just felt this peace, and my hand got steady, and I was able to hammer that nail in, and I did not break the glass. There was another time when it was really hot, and I just said, "Lord, please send us some cloud cover. We have no shade other than when the sun gets to a certain position. We can kind of get around behind the house in the shade. But Lord, we could just use some cloud cover. No lightning, please. We don't necessarily want the thunder or the rain." And he did it. He brought us some cloud cover. And, oh, it was sweet. It was sweet. But I thank you for giving me the privilege of going. I will never, ever be the same. God is good. God is very, very good, and I appreciate each person who went because they were a real support to me, and I know them in a deeper, more wonderful way now because of their sacrifices. Thank you.
Even lower for me. You know, Joe gave me these talking points. Why did you choose to go on this mission trip to one of the most violent cities in the world? And I'm going to confess here, I didn't choose it. I was reluctant. I didn't want to go. I tried to think of every excuse I could possibly think of for why I did not need to go on this mission trip. I'd been on others. I thought other people need this opportunity. And every time I would think of something new, God would remove that. And every time I would think of something else, removed. And I've been very blessed and realized there's really no reason why I can't go. I have to go. And so you'll know that reluctant me went on this mission trip. And so I was like, I'll work hard. I'll be an encouragement to others. And, you know, we'll see what happens. And as often happens in other mission trips I've been on, I find that I'm more blessed than the blessing I feel like I'm providing to the people that we're helping. And you saw the pictures of us working on the border, and, you know, I've been involved in political discussions about this border between Mexico and the United States and what that means to us in the U.S. and what that means to the Mexicans, and fully admit that we have some issues there, and that takes more wisdom than I possess to try to help solve that problem. But what God impressed upon me this week as we were working beside that border is that's man-made. God has no borders. His kingdom is without man-made borders. It's without any fences. And so looking into the faces of that family and working with them and not really being able to communicate with them other than smiles and, you know, hola and gracias and de nada, that's what came across most is that, you know, our hearts communicated because we were all there working for God and working to help them. And so, once again, I feel like even though I was reluctant to go, God blessed more than I ever could have anticipated. And I'm very thankful for the opportunity.
I get to raise it up a little bit. Not too much. Joe wanted me to talk about a couple things, kind of from a father's perspective, but I wanted to say a couple other things real quick. This trip that we went on was certainly not about me, and I think everybody else that went would say that it is not about them. This was about a man named Alejandro and a woman named Brenda with five kids. Jonathan, Edgar, Brenda, Karen, and one other one. Two of those weren't there, and we didn't get to see them all week. But this trip was about the blessing that that God allowed us to just lavish upon them. And at the end of the week, anything that we had left over, anything that we didn't use, food, several people bought toys, soccer balls, just cooking material, all kinds of things, and we just, you know, one of the rooms in the house was full of this stuff that we were able to give to them. So, had I not chosen to go on this trip, that house and everything would look exactly the same as it does today. If Joe had not gone on this trip, the house would be standing as it is today. If both of us had not gone on this trip, it would still be standing with straight U-joints. 16 U-joints with warped wood, kind of difficult. and one other thing, just about the safety aspect, somebody else already hit on that. Not once while I was down there did I feel threatened whatsoever. Part of that might have had to do with we were right on the border instead of kind of right in the middle. The house where we built was kind of at the end of a street, so on one side of us there was not another house, and so we had plenty of room. We were able to park all of our vehicles close, but I checked this morning, and Juarez is actually the seventh most dangerous city in the world. Kind of interesting. Detroit is number five most dangerous city in the world. So if I told you guys I was going to a baseball game tonight in Detroit, would any of you think, what are you doing that for, Brad? Have you not seen that Detroit is the fifth most? Of course not. So, the group that we went with has built over 4,500 homes in Juarez and what's the other city? Yeah. Anyway, so they know what they're doing. We don't go down there, on our own knowledge. We're with people that know what they're doing. So Joe wanted me to talk about, as a father, why it's important to me to be involved in international missions. And this was the first mission trip pretty much of any kind that I've been on. But a couple things that came to mind. First and foremost, for me as a father, my number one mission field is 2129 Camille Drive in my home. So that is number one to me. And so that's very important for any parent here that, your kids are your mission field first and foremost. But, there's plenty of time to do other things. A couple things that came to mind to me as I pondered this question since Thursday about why international missions would be important to me. A few things I kept coming back to is, number one was obedience. God has called us to do this several places in the Bible. A couple things that came to mind to me. Matthew 28:19, go therefore and make disciples of all nations. Pretty simple. Not just wealthy nations, not just peaceful nations, but all nations. Baptizing them in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit, teaching them to observe everything I've commanded you. And remember, I am with you always to the end of the age. So, when we go to do these things, God is with us. And then Acts 1:8, but you will receive power when the Holy Spirit has come upon you, and you will be my witnesses in Jerusalem, Brentwood, Nolensville, Antioch, Smyrna, in all Judea, Tennessee, and Samaria, United States, and to the ends of the earth, even Juarez, Mexico, even all these other places out there that are dangerous. So we teach our children to be obedient. The word obey is used at my house more than I would probably like to, but you know, we teach our kids to obey us, and so we need to obey the Father when He calls us. The need is great. I've seen the pictures before we went, seen videos, you know, seen things on TV from different places all around the world, and just like, you know, the thing that I guess I could compare it to here is just, you know, if you've ever been to a tornado, if you've ever been to where a tornado has actually hit and seen the devastation with your own eyes, you know, that's the thing that kind of came to mind to me, is just you can see pictures on the news of where tornadoes had hit, and it's like, man, you know, kind of stink. If you've ever been to where a tornado has hit and seen a line where you can see where that tornado has ripped and torn through houses, it's just a totally, it really sinks in at that point. So, you know, that's what it was like for me in Juarez, is just, man, seeing it even from a distance, even, you know, from Interstate 10, it's just widespread and just huge. And, you know, getting on the other side of the border and seeing it with your own eyes, you just can't understand the need until you see it. And so, you know, the need is great, and it's not just for young kids in college or single people or whatever. It's the need is so great that you know, even people with kids and jobs and all that kind of thing, you know, if you have that calling to go, you need to go. You know, Casas Por Cristo at one point was building 450 homes per year, which is amazing. I think this year they're on pace to build around 175. The need is still as the same as it was when they were building 450. So the need is great. And then why mission trips, international or local, is important to me now is the relationships that were formed, you know, when you're on something like this, just can't happen any other way. I would say that most of the I knew everybody's name when we were leaving, but you know, I didn't know most of the people on this trip, and just, you know, through God's provision and just, you know, who He stuck together. You know, I know everybody now, and I have a bond with everybody that was on this trip, from, you know, 14-year-old Philip to Glenda, however old she is. But, you know, I got to know several people down there much better than I ever knew. I got to share. We had four different legs of flight, and somehow Laura Pullen and I got stuck together. Well, not really stuck together, but we got to sit beside each other. She probably felt like we were stuck together because I ramble. But, you know, we got to sit beside each other on three of those. And so I know everything about Laura Pullen now. I know where she went to high school, college. I didn't know she was a teacher before we left, but I know that now, and she probably knows way more about me than she might care to know. But, you know, same thing with Tedra. Tedra and I worked just about a full day together. And so she knows that I'm a terrible hammerer, but I know everything, and I know a lot about Tedra now. I didn't know that Tedra and Russell Gill have been friends for 20 years, and that Russell had a hand in, you know, her getting her first job. So anyway, you know, forming those bonds and relationships, there's just no other way to do that. Second question, as a father, how did this trip impact you? Since we've been back for just 2 days now, I guess I really don't know how it's going to impact me moving forward. what I can tell you of how it's impacted me up to this point is that, and I was able to share this with my kids when I got back, you know, the thing, just having young kids, the thing that just really kept impressing on me while we were there is just the kids that were around, you know, not just the family, but nieces, nephews, friends from across the street. You know, these kids are no different than our kids. And that's really, like, the first thing I noticed, you know, Monday morning was that, you know, I saw two or three little girls walking up and down the street, the sand street with rocks and trash and shards of glass in it, running in and out of each other's house, playing, the boys getting out in the street and playing ball. You know, my son gets out in my street to throw baseball, and I don't understand why, because there's all this grass around. But, you know, he gets out on the street and plays. And, you know, these kids got out on the street and, you know, were playing soccer and things like that. And, you know, the boys, they're rough. Wow. They were – I didn't want any part of it. The teenagers got out there and played with them, and I think they beat them to smithereens. But, you know, just – you know, I didn't get to choose where I was born. You know, just like these kids, they didn't choose to be born – next to the border fence, where they have no hope, you know, for a future where, you know, there's their dad might earn $50 or $60 a week, you know, and have to sleep outside because it's so hot inside. You know, they didn't choose that, just like I didn't choose where I was born, or my kids didn't choose where they were born. This is all, you know, grace from God that we have. It opened my eyes to just how people in other countries live, you know, what their reality is compared to our reality. That was an eye-opening experience for me. You know, and just getting back to the impact of just, you know, you have certain prejudices and all of that kind of thing about all types of people, but you know, we have these prejudices and just thoughts in our head about Mexican people before you go down there. You know, what was surprising to me just with our family is just how, you know, humanity here, it's no different than it is down there. There's bad guys here that choose to be in gangs and be violent and all of that kind of thing. There's bad guys down there that choose that. There are people here that get caught up in that just simply because of a lack of options. And that's what I saw down there. It's just, and you know, talking to Brittany and Michelle, people that have been down there a lot, you know, this whole area is controlled by drug cartels. And they work like the mob used to work here. And if you've got a business and you're doing well, they're going to come in and offer you protection from them. You know, if you pay them a certain percentage. And so, I mean, you know, what I saw was a husband that loved his children and that disciplined his children and got on to them and, you know, that went to work and wanted nothing more than to provide the basic needs for his family. You know, I saw a mother that loved her children and that, you know, carried around this one-month-old baby the same way that, you know, my wife was carrying around our one-month-old baby 7 months ago. You know, they just don't have the options and the choices and the opportunities that we have. And, you know, before you can minister to people, you know, they've got to have their basic needs covered. They've got to have food. They've got to have shelter, and they've got to feel like they've got some sort of security. And so hopefully that's what we were able to provide for these folks down there you know, hopefully the people that were around us and saw us, you know, people were watching us all week from across the street you know, hopefully they saw us and that had an impact on them. So I think what we're going to do now is watch a video that Dan Newsom created, and you guys already know this, but Dan is an amazing does a great job of this kind of stuff. And I tried to tell Dan several times we were down there, like, dude, I don't care if you swing another hammer. I don't care what you do while you're here. You know, you've got a camera. That's do that. Do that well. Of course, he did that and worked just as hard as anybody else. But I've seen part of this. It's awesome. I think you guys are going to like it. So enjoy. Thank you.
Tongues can't dare keep quiet till his righteousness shines like the dawn.
Es feliz por tiene un casa nueva. It's a great day for her to have her new home.
It's been an honor to serve you and to help you and your family. We are so glad you're part of this.
Sé que es un honor servir a usted y ser parte de para su familia.
Muchas gracias.
Say thank you for everything.
Nosotros encantamos mucho.
Awesome. promise I'll be fast. This is our new logo. Providence. Mission, community, family, beauty, gospel. And that's what Juarez was all about. That's what this church is all about. And that's what we will continue being all about. Like, that's the calling for us now. 3 years we've been at this. What's the call? The call is to continue. I got a chance to talk to Michelle on the Friday night after we got back. She called to make sure we made it okay. And she told me that they had been back to the border that day, except on the other side. We're looking across and talking to the family. And Brenda and Alejandro were very hesitant to talk very much. Now, their kids and the neighbor kids were everywhere. But they were a little bit hesitant to talk. But that day, when they were talking on the other side of the border, they just opened up. And we're just talking and talking and talking and thanking and thanking. The kids were there. Edgar and Jonathan were there. And they just kept asking, where's Esteban? Esteban, which is Stephen Holshoff. Our students, I've just got to give them props. They were out there with those kids. Like, they paved the way for us to be able to penetrate barriers, because they were out there and they were asking for them by name. There's Philippe, where's Philippe? And they just kept asking for Philip and Jesse and Jordan, and wanted to be with them and be around them. They've already built a bathroom. You know that side door that we built that was on the back side where you could see the fence? They've already hooked a bathroom to that. Bathroom for them is just a hole in the dirt, and they put like a bucket with a commode lid over it. And but it is attached to the house, and so now they use a restroom, throw some sand in there. That's how they flush, is with some sand on top. But it was a great week. It was hard work. We worked some 14-hour days. Camaraderie of the group, a lot of the folks talked about that. It was awesome, just how everybody pulled together. Everybody worked hard. Everybody gave it their all. Some people had some definite issues. Jordan, his brilliance or lack thereof, he decided not to bring a cot. And he's like, the Lord will provide. So we get there, and he's like, a couch. Wonderful. So he sleeps on the couch. Go check him out. He has bed bug bites all over him. He was eaten alive. I did not brush my teeth for about 5 days because I lost my toothbrush and toothpaste, and I think I have a cavity now. So that's okay. But we also, one of the people that we haven't talked about very much at all is Tom. Tom put this whole thing together. This was Tom's gig. This was Tom's bag. He led the trip. He organized the trip. He did the stuff. And so major thanks to Tom for leading us on that and doing a great job. Real quick, just want to share a few things with you. And if you've got your Bibles, go to 2 Timothy 3, and I promise we will be quick as I can be. But in 2 Timothy 3, we see Paul writing to Timothy. All right, this is the last letter he wrote before he died. He's waiting to be beheaded. He's not just on house arrest. He is in a dungeon waiting to be beheaded. And so he's writing basically his last will and testament to Timothy, his son in the ministry. And the words that he tells Timothy here are the exact same words that, like, we need to hear. Okay, we've been at this 3 years. So what now? What do we need to do? And the call for us is to continue. Okay, we're on the right trajectory. And sure, we've got things we need to sharpen here. We need to shave off here. We need to do away with here. We need to tighten this thing up. We need to really ramp it up over here. But our trajectory is right on. And so the call for us is to continue. And so chapter 3, verse 14, Paul tells Timothy, but as for you, continue in what you have learned and have firmly believed. Okay? The gospel, all right? You've got it. You've learned it. You believe it. Continue pressing that out, fleshing that out, knowing from whom you learned it and how from childhood you've been acquainted with the sacred writings. He learned it from Paul, as well as his grandmother and his mother. Us, we've learned it from these sacred writings, which are able to make you wise for salvation through faith in Jesus Christ. And so the sacred writings, that is this book, the Bible. And so everything that we do here, that we've done and that we will continue to do will be grounded in the Word of God. What the Word of God says, it is our authority. Not tradition, not what we're comfortable with, not what we've got, but in the Word of God itself, which makes you wise for salvation through faith in Christ Jesus. So everything we're doing is pushing towards the gospel. It flows from the gospel and pushes towards the gospel as well. And so we're talking Jesus' perfect life, substitutionary death, bodily resurrection from the grave for salvation of all who believe. Why? Verse 16. All Scripture is breathed out by God. Literally, it's His words. All right. So when Paul and Peter and John and Matthew and Mark and Luke and all these guys wrote, those are the very words of God. Now, he didn't put them in a trance, but he worked through their personalities to write exactly what he would have, down to the very words. So all Scripture is God's word to us. And it's profitable for, and here we go, four things: teaching, reproof, correction, and training in righteousness. And so everything that we have done, everything that we will continue to do, will touch on one of these four things from the Word of God: teaching, reproof, correction, or training in righteousness. And so it's okay for somebody to say, hey, this is wrong, but you better come with the Bible, because it's our authority, not our tradition, not what we believe, not what we think. All Scripture is breathed out by God, not what we think. And so teaching, reproof, correction, training in righteousness, not behavioral modification, all right, but gospel-centered life. That, verse 17, the man of God may be competent, equipped for every good work. Those good works, we summarize them with the two GCs here, the Great Commission and the Great Commandment, all right, the Great Commission that Brad read a little earlier: go and make disciples of all the nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit, and teaching them to observe all that I've commanded, and lo, I'm with you even to the end of the age. And the Great Commandment: to love the Lord our God with all our heart, our mind, our soul, our strength, and love our neighbor as ourself. And that's what this is: mission, community, family, beauty, gospel. Those are our core values. That is what we are going to be all about. And so the call for us is to continue. All right, but not just like continue, but like step on the throttle a little bit. Okay, the call for us is to advance. And so you've been seeing notes like everywhere: save the date, save the date, save the date. August 19th, Friday night, August 19th. That night, what that is we're going to be launching the advance, which is a Great Commission campaign. We're going to be launching. You're going to want to be there 6 o'clock or 6:30. I'll have to check that. At the TBC in Brentwood, we're going to be launching the Advance campaign, which is a Great Commission campaign. This is not just about a building. It's not just about getting a building, but it's about building, planting, and going in God's providence. And so we're going to be launching this. And so the vision is for this. Like, if we're not going to be about the Great Commission, we're just going to be all about, let's get a building, let's be comfortable so we have AC and we've got this, then what are we doing? So this is not going to be just about us getting a building, but it's going to be much bigger than that. Building, yes, but planting churches and going, setting up ways so that we can all go. And so this, you know, Great Commission campaign, calling it that as opposed to just a capital campaign, is born out of our purpose to worship and enjoy God and lead others to do the same. And it's born out of a purpose of knowing the sinful nature of our hearts, that entanglement that we still find ourselves in, so we have to force ourselves to remain uncomfortable. Because if we don't, we will get complacent and inward focused. And we need to continue being courageous and outward focused. And so we've got to force ourselves to be uncomfortable. If we don't, boy, we'll just settle in. It's just who we are. That's the nature of ourselves. We will settle in. And so it's born out of, you know, our need to do that. It's born out of a commitment to see the gospel transform everything. And listen to me, that's our prejudices that Brad talked about. That's our desires, our wants, our thinking, our fears, worries, our, like, everything about us transformed by the gospel, doing things that you thought 3, 5, 10 years ago, I will never do. And here I am doing them. And that is only by God's grace. It's only what He has done through us. I mean, think about this. What if in 5 years, just dream with me, what if in 5 years, not only is there a building up there on 1668 Sunset Road with air conditioning, and praise God we got some today, but what if in 5 years, every member of our congregation has been at least once internationally? What if in 20 years, Providence has some sort of ongoing presence on every inhabited continent in the world? So we got something right here in North America. We get something in South America. Providence is there ongoingly. Africa, Europe, Asia, Australia. What if? And to see those, to see that happen, all right, it's a big vision, much bigger than any one of us. But to see that happen, we've got to link arms and we've got to rally around King Jesus, His gospel, His great commission, call out to God to bless our efforts. We've got to sacrificially give like never before, all right, during this campaign, monetarily, yes, like never before. We still got to support the budget, but we're going to be trying to do something else. We'll talk more about that on the 19th. I'll roll all that out then. But also just in our lives. And on the 19th, if you want to bring money that night, you're going to go home with money because we're not going to collect a dime. That's just to tell you what the advance campaign is really all about. Roll that out in the specifics of building, planting, and going in God's providence. But it's a big vision. And just as it took... And let me just stop. We are 3 years old. And we're talking about building a building, planting churches, and every single member of this church going internationally. And over the next 20 years with a prayer and a hope and a dream that's just a little seed in mind to see ongoing presence on every inhabited continent from us. I mean, God has worked like, I'll never forget this. John called us this on the radio, which is just great PR, but just a ragtag bunch of people who love Jesus. And God has worked in that to see this. And now we are called to continue. And it's going to take us, like just as the 19 of us, when we went to Juarez, we had to kind of sway our cultural fears and work together towards a goal that was so much bigger than just building a house. I'm asking every one of you for us to slay our economic fears and rally together for a vision that is so much bigger than a building. And so we're talking mission, community, family, beauty, gospel. That's what Juarez was all about. That's what this church is all about. That's what this campaign is all about. And it's time for us to continue, but advance. Building, planting, and going in God's providence. Let's pray. Oh God, I thank You. I bless You. I praise You for what You have done here in 3 years. I thank You for these people. I thank You for Your people that You've called out, that You have saved by grace through faith in Christ. And I pray that You would stir our affections for You, that You would stir our, You would give us a holy ambition, something that we cannot get away from, that will cause us to not do things that we would rather do, but we will not do them because we want this so much more. Stir our hearts. Let us capture this vision to be not about ourselves and Lord, prevent us from when we get a building from being like, oh, we've done it. And we think we've done it and we're done. But that's just a beginning. That's just a launching pad for the nations. Every nation. Eventually even getting to Nepal where someone here stays. God, bless us that we might be a blessing to others. Be gracious to us that your name might be known among all the nations, and that they may praise your name, O God. Praise your name. That is our prayer. That is our hope. We beg you, God, to bless it. Change us until that consumes us. In the name of Christ, amen.